for the gospel. The Holy Gospel today comes from the book of St. Luke, the 21st chapter, beginning with the 25th verse. There will be signs in the sun, the moon, and the stars, and on the earth distress among nations confused by the roaring of the sea and the waves. People will faint from fear and foreboding of what is coming upon the world, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now when these things begin to take place, stand up and raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. Then he told them a parable. Look at the fig tree and all the trees. As soon as they sprout leaves, you can see for yourselves and know that summer is already near. So also when you see these things taking place, you know that the kingdom of God is near. Truly, I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. Be on guard so that your hearts are not weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and the worries of this life, and that day catch you unexpectedly like a trap. For it will come upon all who live on the face of the whole earth. Be alert at all times, praying that you may have the strength to escape all these things that will take place and to stand before the Son of Man. The Gospel of the Lord. You may be seated. My dearest, dearest siblings, grace and peace to you from our holy Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer. Amen. This is a big deal, folks, and I want to really press this upon you. Today is the first Sunday of Advent. It is the first Sunday of the new church year, which is why we read from Luke today instead of Mark. But Advent is a season. I was on a website recently where I look for some stories and illustrations to use in my sermons, and as I was looking at some of the categories, I realized they had nothing listed for Advent. And I ended up writing in an email to the person in charge of the website, and I said, you don't have any stories of Advent here. Why is that? And the guy wrote back and said, well, I was raised Baptist, and we don't celebrate the church seasons like that. And I thought, all right, well, to each their own. And it made me suddenly think to myself, Advent is not something that Christians throughout the entire world celebrate. A lot of them do, millions and millions, but not everybody, which means that Advent is a special season that only a portion of people get to encounter. And I want to lift this up for us because you all have had the blessing of being here on the very first Sunday of Advent. Advent is that four-week period right before Christmas. The name Advent, Latin for coming, is that time where we prepare for Christ coming into this world. It's amazing how it uses time, too. We prepare for Christ in the past who came to us in Bethlehem. We prepare for Christ in the future who promises to come again. And all of this affects in how we encounter Christ being present with us here and now, today. But for you to really feel Advent, for you to get everything about it, becoming my father, you have to come all 4 weeks. You have to, right? He's going to hear this too, and I'm going to pay for that later. Advent is a time of preparation. It's a time of discipline, of dedication. It's a time of embracing all of what this season has. It's a time where you hear the four different gospel stories that we will read. And it's a time where they each build upon each other. It's a time that helps assist us in our own preparation, in our own lives, for Christ's coming into all of the circumstances that we embrace ourselves, in our own personal contexts. But that only happens if you treat it like a season, if you are present in it throughout that season. If you come just once, you're going to miss out on a whole lot. Advent is really special, and I'll tell you, it makes Christmas even more amazing. This is a time where we reflect on what's going on in our own lives, the struggles that we might face personally. This is a time where we reflect on what's going on in our communities, our country, our entire world, to take all of that, to reflect on all of that, and to ask yourself, is it important to believe that Christ still comes into this world? Do we live in a world where we still need Christ to be present? It's awesome. I see some of you actually thinking about that. Do it. Think about it. Reflect on that. Treat this month, with all of its holiday chaos, as a time to be dedicated into reflecting on why we need Christ in this world. That is what the season of Advent is about. It is about that kind of a preparation, and it is about the change that is created in our lives and in this world with Christ's coming. It's about the change that was created when Christ came into this world 2,000 years ago. It's about the change that is created when we experience Christ coming into our lives here and now still. And it is the change that is created with that hope that we hold on to that Christ will come again. And that's why this first Sunday of Advent starts so big. It's unfortunate this story in Luke is read completely out of context. We only get a small excerpt, so we really don't understand what Jesus is talking about. But what Jesus is talking about in this portion of Luke, he's right at the end of his ministry. He's in Jerusalem. It's days before he will be crucified. And he's talking to his disciples about how the entire world will be reconciled one day by God. This isn't just a Christian belief, but it was a strong belief by the Jewish people for centuries and centuries and centuries. People who had been living most of their lives, their ancestors' lives, under occupation by some kind of foreign power. And for them, this was a hope that one day everything will change. That God is so big, so powerful, and so full of love that God will change the entire world. That violence, that war, that hunger, need, poverty, exclusion, all of those things will disappear. And the entire world is going to change. And Jesus talks about this in kind of a doom and gloom way. But imagine if everything you experienced in this world, all of the conflict, either in your life or throughout our planet, suddenly changed for the better, wouldn't that scare you? That would terrify me, in a good way. There's that kind of, that good fear that happens when you encounter the divine, when you realize that God is actually here working around you. I've only had a couple of those moments in my life, and I'll tell you, they scare the hell out of me. In a good way. It reminds me of a story I read. There were these seminary students who would play basketball once a week at a local elementary school, and the janitor of this school always waited until they were done playing their game before he finally locked up. Well, one day these seminary students were playing basketball, and they realized that the janitor was just sitting down in a bench near them reading the Bible. And they could see that he was at the very end of the Bible, so they realized he must be reading from the book of Revelation. And one of these seminary students thought, this is one of the most confusing books in the entire Bible. Scholars are still fighting over what it means. And yet here's this janitor reading the book and enjoying it. And so he decided to walk up to him, and he said, do you understand what you're reading? And the janitor says, well, yeah. The seminary student says, are you serious? I mean, scholars are still debating the interpretation of this text. You really are reading this, and you know what you're reading. And the janitor says, yeah. So finally, the seminary student says, well, what do you think it means? The janitor looks up at him, and he smiles, and he says, it means God wins. That's the best interpretation of Revelation I've ever heard. We start Advent always in a big way. Advent goes backwards in time. We start at the end of the book of Luke, and then we're going to work backwards over the next 4 weeks. But for some reason, it starts with this massive, big hope that God wins. Now, for the people who are hearing these words for the very first time, they were living under Roman occupation, and this huge persecution had just been unleashed against all Christians and Jewish people. And so for them, these words had serious meaning. It was that everything that they were experiencing, it was not going to be the last say. It was that God wins even against something as big as Rome. That love will prevail. These were words of hope that carried them through. Now for us, it's a little different. We don't live under those same circumstances, but we still go through our own hardships, don't we? They could be as small as what's going on internally in our own lives, any kind of a struggle we might be going through, any kind of a conflict we might be going through, things with work, with relationships, all of these things that just bury themselves right in the pit of our stomach. And this is the promise that none of that stuff will ever last. But it could be so much bigger, can't it? A world with devastating hurricanes, earthquakes, freezing winters, wildfires. We might not have Rome around us, but sometimes it can feel like our entire world is at stake here, that we're losing it. We start Advent in this big way because we need to hear that huge promise that God gives to us, that this is not how it ends. That God is so big and so powerful and so full of love that God's not just going to change what's going on in your life. God's going to change the entire world. Folks, the entire world is promised to you because that's how big God is. And because that's how full of love God is. Advent starts with the promise and the hope that God wins. But here's the trick. God chooses to work through you. And Jesus chooses to come into this world through you. This is not a moment where we just sit on our hands and wait for God to show up and just fix everything like some rich kid who spoiled it all. God works through each and every one of us. Here's the thing. We know the end of the story. We know how it all works out. We know what God is eventually going to do. The part we don't know is all of those pages up until that point. We know that God wins. We know that whatever is happening in our lives, whatever pain is there, whatever struggle is there, whatever personal thing is there, God wins. We know that however crazy the world gets, God wins. And all of this change happens because God continues to come into this world, but God chooses to work through you. We know the end of the story. Now it's up to us to fill in the rest of the pages. In Jesus' name, amen. Please stand as you are able. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you now and forever. Amen.